Samanta chakkhavalesu atra gacchantu devata sadhammam muni rajasa sunantu sagamokkhadam dhamma savana kalo ayam badanda dhamma savana kalo ayam badanda dhamma savana kalo ayam badanda namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. First of all, let me say happy Chinese New Year to all of you. Okay, today the talk is from Anguttara Nikaya, the chapter of 5 and Sutta 25, the 5 helpers of right view. In my teaching, I emphasize lots of right view, Sammaditi. Why? Because only when your view is right and strict, then your verbal action, your physical action will be right and strict. Therefore, in the Noble Eightfold Path, right view comes first. It's a forerunner of the other 7 Noble Path. So before we come to know what are the 5 helpers of right view, we must understand first what is right view, right? So what do you understand right view? What is right view? Sammaditi. Very good. 4 Noble Truths. In fact, there are many degrees of right view. Let us start with the most basic one, then to the most profound one. Okay, the most basic right view is understanding of what is wholesome, what is unwholesome. If we do not even understand what is wholesome, what is unwholesome, how are we going to cultivate wholesome? How are we going to avoid unwholesome? Right? So even the arising of the Buddha, just to tell us what is wholesome, what is unwholesome, bring abundant benefits for us. So what is wholesome? As a Buddhist, we all understand. Dana is wholesome. Listening to talk is wholesome. Pay homage to the monks and nuns is wholesome. Then abstaining from killing, abstaining from stealing, sexual misconduct, abstaining from telling lies, harsh speech, frivolous talk, and backbiting, and also abstaining from taking intoxicants that can make your mind become negligent. All these are wholesomeness. So if you understand what is wholesome, you have the right view. This is a very basic right view. And since you understand the wholesome, then you must understand what is unwholesome, right? So what is the opposite of generosity? Stinginess, unable to give away a portion of one's own property to help others or to support the teaching of the Buddha or to help the needy. So stinginess is unwholesome. So keeping the 5 precepts is wholesome. Then the opposite breaking all the precepts are unwholesome. So understand what is wholesome. And understand what is understand what is wholesome and understand what is unwholesome is basic right view. When we understand what is wholesome and we understand what is unwholesome, at the same time, we understand any wholesome acts will bear its wholesome result. Any unwholesome act will bring unwholesome result. Another word, sabbe sata kamma sakka. Sabbe sata kamma sakka samadhi. Another right view of our actions are the air. The action is the air of all beings. We are born by our own action. We are born, we are supported by our wholesome and unwholesome action. This is called sabbe sata samadhi. Sabbe sata kamma sakka samadhi. Another right view. So these are the most basic for a Buddhist practitioner. Now we come to more advanced right view. That is sabbe sankhara. All formations are dependently arisen. Another word, dependent origination. We come to this human world, or we possess of mind and body. Why we possess mind and body? Why we have mind and body? Because of past karma. Because of past karma we have performed nowadays. Now we have mind and body. Right? So otherwise, if we don't have this type of right view, we don't understand why some people born as inferior, some people born as superior, some people born as highly intelligent, some people born as dull, and some people born beautiful, some people born ugly, some people born in they have great influence. Some people have no influence in the society at all. So once we have samadhi, right view, we know everything is cause and effect. Everything happen nowadays, our experience now have the causes in the past. And we further trace back why we perform all types of karma that bring forth new life. Why? For what reason? I don't want life to come. Is it possible? Not possible. Why? So without samadhi, without understanding samadhi, you are not able to answer the question. So according to dependent origination, dependent on ignorance. Dependent on ignorance, karmic formation. Dependent on ignorance, we perform a lot of wholesome karma and unwholesome karma. Okay, now come the question, what is ignorance? What is ignorance? There are two meanings of ignorance. One is do not know, not knowing, Do not know. Or not knowing is ignorant. Another meaning is knowing wrongly. Not only not knowing, but knowing wrongly, even worse. Not knowing is already very bad, and know wrongly, they're even worse. This is called ignorance. Okay, not knowing of what? We say ignorant, ignorant. Not knowing of what? Not knowing of Four Noble Truths. Please remember this, it is so important. When we talk about ignorance, what is ignorance? Not knowing. Not knowing of what? Not knowing of Four Noble Truths. First, what is the Noble Truth of suffering? Everybody know. But most people know the words only. They don't know the meaning. So aging, sickness, death, they can learn by heart and tell you. Aging, sickness, death, separation from beloved one, and associate with those you hate, and do not get what want. All these are suffering. But the last words is the most important. The five aggregates of clinging is the truth of suffering. What are the five aggregates? Form aggregate, feeling, perception, formations, and consciousness. These five aggregates make up a person, a being. And cling to this five aggregate or cling to this person, a being, is the truth of suffering. We do not know. We do not know. Not only we do not know, we know wrongly. We thought clinging to these five aggregates, clinging to these beings, is a source of happiness. Right? Is it true or not? Do you think that you cling to your mind and body happy? Is happiness or suffering? Suffering. So you have right view. If you say suffering, you have right view. Yeah. Most people, they think having mind and body is happiness, which is different from what Buddha's perception. Buddha perceives having mind and body is a source of suffering. So if we do not know, we do not know having mind and body or cling to our mind and body is a truth of suffering, then we have ignorance. And if we do not know and yet we think clinging to our mind and body gives us a sense of happiness, then it's even worse. This is called knowing wrongly. So ignorance has two meanings, not knowing and know wrongly, knowing wrongly. Let us come to the origin of suffering. What is the origin of suffering? Craving, everybody knows. Craving is the origin of suffering. But if I ask you, renounce your life, renounce your family, renounce your job, renounce your association with people, do you want to follow this path? Yes or no?
Not ready.
Yes or no? Not ready yet. Okay, why? I think the very very basic or hindered reason or inherent reason why is because the craving for mind and body, for the craving for family, the craving for your professional, the craving for money, for name, for gain is still there. If the craving for all this type of thing already gone, you will easily renounce your world. Yeah, you will easily renounce this world. So we do not know craving is a source of suffering, and yet we misperceive craving is the origin of happiness. Otherwise, you will not cling to your family so much. Chinese New Year, family gathering. See how many people come to listen to the precious teaching of the Dharma. Most people entangle in a family, gather together, drink, sing, alcohol, and so on. So they perceive, they do not know this type of suffering. And yet, they know wrongly. They do not know this type of suffering, and yet they know wrongly this type of happiness. When gathered together is happiness. How about when one of your family members pass away or meet with disaster and die? The happiness immediately come. The happiness immediately turn to sorrow. Why turn to sorrow? When people have air crash in the air, I don't feel sorrow at all. But if one of my family members inside the aeroplane, I immediately feel sorrowful. Why? It's very easy to understand. Attachment, craving, craving to family, craving to beloved one. So Buddha, since long Buddha have told us, craving is the origin of suffering, but we do not know. And we know wrongly, craving is a source of happiness. So we want to come closer and closer, gather together again and again. Some even pray, next life, let us meet again. I always pray with someone, let us not meet again. The more we meet, the more suffering it turns up. Okay, so without right view, we cannot understand all this type of things. Because our wisdom is very limited. We cannot see far. Our wisdom is limited because we still have too much attachment to the sensual pleasures, attachment to the assistant, and to many material things. Therefore, our wisdom is blocked by craving, and we cannot see clearly. Therefore, we become ignorant. So without right view, it's very difficult for you to understand the teaching of the Dharma, the teaching of the Buddha. Okay, another right view is all this suffering can come to cessation. So there's hope, right? There's hope. So we must have this right view. All the suffering can come to cessation. And the last one, there is the way to solve, to overcome all this suffering. And if we have the right view, then we can follow this path. But if we do not have the right view, like many practitioners, out of Buddhism, their view is very different from our view. For example, some religions say that if you kill many people non their religion, then you will be reborn in a heaven. And Buddha's teaching completely different. Whoever you kill, whether your enemy or out of your religions. Whoever you kill, you go to hell. So is it so different type of view? So those who have wrong view will end up in wrong destination. Those who have right view will end up in right destination. And Buddha show us the way to end this all suffering. This is also another type of right view. Without right view, you do not know how to walk this path. Okay, so this another type of right view, dependent origination. And when we talk about origination, we also talk about the Four Noble Truths, because ignorance itself is ignorant about Four Noble Truths. And dependent origination says, dependent on ignorant karmic formation. Depend on karmic formation, consciousness. So because of not knowing life is suffering, so we perform karmic formation, good or bad. We perform good or bad karma. Each karma once performed leave behind karmic potency, and this karmic potency when ripened will spring and become rebirth consciousness. Therefore, dependent on ignorant karmic formation, dependent on karmic formation, consciousness. This consciousness is rebirth consciousness. So a being come in, a being spring up. And when there is consciousness, there is nama rupa, mind and body. When there's mind and body, there are six sense spaces. Our eye can hear, our eye can see, nose can hear, and so on. When there's six sense spaces, there is contact. Eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, and so on. When there's contact, there's feeling. Either pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling. And when there is pleasant feeling, there is craving. Craving comes again. When there's craving, then there is strong clinging. Want to get it. When we want to get something, we must perform the karma. So we perform karma again, and when the karma ripen, then there's birth again, new life again. When there's new life, there's aging, sickness, and death. This is called dependent origination. And this, in this 12 links of dependent origination, from the very beginning, ignorant, up to the death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, and despair. In fact, no one undergoes suffering. You think there's a person undergoes suffering? This view is not correct. In this 12 link of dependent origination, no one undergoes suffering. Only suffering exists, but no one undergoes suffering. This is right view. So without this right view, you always think that there's one person go through suffering. Then you are clinging to the wrong view of self. All these are mental factors. Ignorance are mental factor. Karmic formation are mental factor. Even consciousness is also one of the mental factor. The birth of what? The birth of mind and body only. In the ultimate sense. So in the ultimate sense, no one undergoes suffering, but suffering exists. May phenomena roll on. This is right view. So this is deeper or higher way of regard things. Okay. So if I want to explain right view, it takes me long time. So today we will stop here and we will see what are the five helpers of right view. Buddha said in this Anguttara Nikaya, the chapter of 5, Buddha said, right view, O monks, if it is helped by five things, has liberation of mind as its fruit, and is rewarded by the fruit of liberation of mind, Cetto Vimutti. It has liberated by wisdom as its fruit, and is rewarded by the fruit of liberation by wisdom. So this right view, if helped by five things, there are two benefits. One is liberation of mind. Another one is liberation of wisdom, Ceto Vimuti and Panya Vimuti. These two refer to attaining of Arahanta Maga Pala, Arahanta path and fruition. So what are these five things? What are the five helpers of right view? Number one, virtue. Your sila, your virtue, morality. If one person is virtuous, he is virtuous, he keep his five precepts, then opposatade, he keep his eight precepts, sometimes 10 precepts. If he is virtuous, then you can understand. This virtuous person must know what is wholesome, what is unwholesome. Otherwise, he will not take five precepts, right? Because he understands taking five precepts is wholesome. And also because he understands sabbe sata kamma saka. He understands kamma is his own refuge. So his virtuous behavior help his right view. This is easy to understand. The second one, what are the second helpers? The second one is largely lacking in Malaysian. What is that? Bahu Sutta. Wide learning. You have wide learning, wide knowledge of Buddha's teaching. We call Bahu Sutta, which I deeply feel that Malaysian lack of this one. Therefore, when you lack of this one, your mind become very rigid, narrow-minded. And when you do not know how to assess a teacher, and when you follow one teacher, you follow very blindly. You cannot, you don't have discriminate knowledge to assess what this teacher say, is it correct or wrong? Simply because you don't have wide learning, Bahu Sutta. You don't have very vast knowledge about the Buddha's teaching. So when you follow one teacher, you follow him or her. You don't follow his teaching or her teaching. In another word, Chinese say, 依人不依法. Because you don't have wide learning, so you 依人, you 不依法. Those who really understand the Dharma, 依法不依人. Only knowledge, only intelligent people, 依法不依人. Some more in Malaysian, they has also discrimination. Monk is higher, Xiaolei is lower. I better follow monk, not follow nun. All these are based on discrimination without wisdom. Whether a monk or nun or lay person, all are conventional truth, not a real person. What you should follow, you are not follow his sex. Right? You are follow his or her wisdom. So without wide learning, you are unable to assess a teacher, whether this teacher is good or bad, whether this teacher is teaching rightly or teaching wrongly. So how to widen your learning? How? First, by association with the wise person. But I want to tell you, by association with wise person unless you yourself are wise. Otherwise, you do not know who is wise. Please bear my word, huh? Unless you yourself is wise, you never know who is wise. Only the wise will know who is wise. The fool will never know who is wise. Only the wise know who is fool. Okay? So first, association, by association with the wise. Second, listen to the Dharma, which is very important. I feel Malaysian also lacking of this keenness, lacking in interest, lack of interest in listening to the Dharma, which is a great loss. Because listening to the Dharma is one of the four factors to become Sotapanna. Association with the wise is another factor to become Sotapanna. So if you do not know, you do not listen to the Dharma, how you know what is wholesome, what is unwholesome? How you know how to contemplate your mind, how to contemplate your feeling, how to meditate, how to fulfill your noble eightfold path? All this come from listening to Dharma. And Buddha said, and not all the Dharma. Buddha said, what is the true Dharma? The true Dharma is when you listen to that type of Dharma, it leads to dispassion. It leads to renunciation. It leads to non-greed. It leads to non-attachment. This is called true Dharma. If you listen to that type, another type of Dharma, it leads to more attachment to family, more attachment to your gain, more attachment to your fame, then this is not a true Dharma. More desire to reborn in heaven, more desire to go through the samsara, then this is not true Dharma. Therefore, you yourself must have knowledge and wisdom to know. Otherwise, you also cannot judge. So, how to have wide learning? First, association with the wise. Second, listen to Dharma talk. What else? Sutta study. Sutta study also can help to shape your right view. Okay, number third. What is the number third helpers of right view? By discussion of what was learned. What had learned. What you have learned, you have to discuss it again and again, again and again with your teacher and with your spiritual friends. Not once learned, then become stagnant. No. Once you learned, you open it and discuss it again and again, because every discussion broaden your understanding, deepen your understanding. And sometimes through discussion, some difficult point become apparent, becomes clear. Therefore, by discussion of what one has learned is very important. It's for this reason, every time after Dharma talk, we open for a discussion. However, still, compared with Westerner, Malaysian are not so keen in asking questions. Not like Western country, they say that cut short your Dharma talk, give more time for discussion. That's what they want. They don't want to listen to talk so much, but talk half an hour, discussion 40 minutes. Malaysian, after talk, okay, finish. So in Malaysia, give talk is very easy. Because give talk you can prepare, right? Discussion, you do not know what they will ask. If you don't have solid knowledge, you dare not open for discussion. Because one question will beat you down. You will be defeated. Simply by one question, because you yourself have not enough knowledge to answer people. Therefore, to teach Malaysian is very easy. You just prepare the talk, blah, 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 finished, no question. But in Western country, no. Half an hour Dhamma talk, even 1 hour discussion. And through your discussion, the student assess you. Whether this teacher is it, Chinese we say, 有没有料的, whether this teacher has solid knowledge or not, through discussion, it comes very apparent. Okay? So it's by discussion of what was learned, and it helps our right view. Okay, number fourth, concentration meditation. Concentration meditation can help one's right view. Why is it so? Let's say you want to go, you come close to a pond, and you have the desire to see through inside the pond, what is inside the pond. However, that pond is muddy, a lot of mud. So the water is very muddy, so you cannot penetrate into the bottom of the pond. And yet, you want to see clearly what's inside the pond, what should you do? What should you do? What should you do?
Wait until the water is clear.
Wait until when? You got to take action, not wait. You got to take action. What action should you take?
Filter the water.
Yes, clear the mud, right? So don't wait. So clear the mud first. How should you clear the mud? You take action and clear the mud. So when the mud is clear, then water become crystal, transparent, clear. Then you can see through what's inside the pond. Similarly, this is the function of concentration meditation. We have a lot of restlessness in our mind. Why? Because every day we associate with people, we have to think of our profession, you know. All these mundane things bombard our mind. So our mind becomes so restless. And also, we have a lot of greed, hatred. We have a lot of doubt. And we have sloth and torpor. And we have also a lot of remorse. All these are the hindrances of the mind that block our wisdom to see clear things. Therefore, Samatha meditation help us. When your mind is singly, you know, stay with the breath. So all the restlessness, sloth and torpor, doubt, worry, anxiety, overthinking are shut down temporarily when your mind is singly focused on the one object. So as time goes, you know, all these five hindrances become weaker and weaker, weaker and weaker. So you clear all this mud, all this corruption of the mind, and your mind become clear, transparent, clear. At that time, you see clearly whatever arises in your mind and body immediately passes away. Whatever arises in your mind and body immediately passes away. So without clear this mud first, it's very difficult to penetrate into things as they really are. For example, when I go for my own meditation after long practice of Anapanasati, so even one moment of slow and torpor arises in my mind, my mindfulness can detect it almost immediately, and just one detect, it passes away. But I can see many yogis there until they are overcome by slow and torpor until they swear the body. That is too strong already. One moment arises in your mind, your mindfulness must be sharp, alert enough to tackle it, then immediately it passes away. It doesn't linger in your mind. Even the thoughts, same, the thoughts arise, one mindfulness, know it, it is gone. So, nothing is permanent. These five hindrances, by the power of mindfulness, you know they are impermanent. So, when you know they are impermanent, you do not cling to these five hindrances as I, myself. And you are not afraid of them. Why? Because you know, you have confidence by your own, by the power of mindfulness. The moment you know it, it passes away. So you see things when they come and when they go. Your mind remained unattached. So through the concentration, practice, it makes your mind very sharp, focused, clear, transparent, clear. And from concentration, meditation, you move on to vipassana, just observe whatever arises and passes away without cling to them as I, myself. At the time, your right view become stronger and stronger because you understand what Buddha said, sabbe sankhara anicca. Whatever phenomena is impermanent. And whatever impermanence is suffering. And whatever is impermanent suffering cannot be regarded as I, myself. So through your concentration and vipassana meditation, your right view become more and more profound. And deeper, your right view become deeper. Therefore, we said, these are the five helpers of right view. What are the five? Number one, virtues. Number two, wide learning. Number three, discussion. Number four, concentration practice. Number five, vipassana. What is vipassana practice? Seeing things as they really are, as impermanent, suffering and non-self. I just want to remind you, vipassana and mindfulness is different things. Mindfulness, you're just mindful of, let's say, you're mindful of anger. This is mindfulness. This is not vipassana. Vipassana is to see arising and passing away of whatever arisen phenomena. So if you only see anger without seeing anger arising and passing away, I can say you practice mindfulness, not wisdom. Wisdom is seeing arising and passing away of state, of whatever state from mind and body. So these are the five helpers of right view. So I wish all of you can enhance your virtues so that you will have better understanding of right view, and also I wish you to enhance your wide learning, your discussion with the Dharma, and to deepen your concentration and vipassana meditation so that your right view will come to full grow to the attainment of final cessation, that is Nibbana. Sadhu. Sadhu. So I give you 15 minutes for discussion so that you can test me.
下面，我用外语问比较方便
好的。
比较少。